In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are plenty of good reasons to let the gospel speak for itself today, not the least of which is my reluctance to be one more voice violating the near silence of Jesus, and my reluctance to preach a very, very long sermon. The gospel narrative is full of noise, the noise of the crowd. Lots of people talking, the scribes, the elders, the Pilate, of course, all speaking, except for Jesus. He is silent. "So you are the King of the Jews," says Pilate. And all Jesus says is, "You say so." He says nothing else, which Scripture says amazed Pilate. My guess is that he was dumbfounded, so dumbfounded when he looked at Jesus, who wasn't much to look at after what they had done to him by then. Jesus is vulnerable, suffering, and is silent. Can't you just see Pilate, nervous, pacing the floor back and forth with a cigarette dangling from his mouth and smoke encircling? Why doesn't Jesus say something? Why isn't he defending himself? We fear silence most of the time. We don't ordinarily like silence. What do? Well, sometimes we bury our heads in the iPod or the iPad or turn on something that has noise. Anything that can fill up the deadening silence. We fear the silence of the night, the dark night of the soul. Silence is often terrifying, for it seems to be an abyss, a bottomless pit into nothingness. Jesus is silent. There is nothing more to say. His ministry of healing and teaching as the Son of God spoke for itself. Pilate does not like the silence. At least if Jesus said anything, he'd have something to go on, wouldn't he? But no, there's this uncanny power in the silence of Jesus. And that makes Pilate really very uncomfortable. For you know that Jesus is resolute in the suffering he must undergo. And as Matthew would have it, to fulfill the words of Isaiah concerning the suffering servant, like a sheep that before its shears is silent. So Jesus does not open up his mouth. He bore the full agony of his passion and death, not only physical pain, but also emotional pain, suffering abandonment by his own disciples, and even the silence of God. It is no mistake that we conclude the liturgy today in silence. At the center of our gospel story is the astonishing silence of God. We ask God, "Why were you silent in the Garden of Gethsemane and at the cross?" Just when we might expect God to do something, God is nowhere to be heard. In our own anguish, we cry out, "Where are you, God? Don't you care? This is your son. God, yours is the one voice Jesus cannot hear." It is a silence so appalling that Jesus uses his last breath to break it. My God, why? Why have you forsaken me? There is no answer to his cry. His cry of dereliction from the cross was so loud, it shakes the earth even now. And yet, it is the cross to which he must go, and he knows it. I can think of no other poem which captures his lonely journey toward the cross than a poem written by the 20th century Welsh priest and poet R.S. Thomas. It is called The Coming. And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked far off as through water. He saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. Let me go there.